too may walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a baptism like his, in a death like his, then we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, putting the body of sin, so that the body of sin would be made nothing, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died, then we have also risen with him, because we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So therefore, you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled, and they became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. And then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." And so they departed quickly from the tomb and with fear and great joy ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And he came up and he took hold of they took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. And Jesus, thank you so much for coming and dying and rising and all these amazing things. Turn our hearts and minds to you. Draw us close. Amen. You may be seated. When my son Corin was 4 and 5, he really started liking asking all sorts of really big questions that had kind of hard answers, or at least it was hard to answer him well and do it as quickly as he wanted. You know, he didn't quite understand that big questions sometimes took big answers. Then my grandpa Bud died, and we had talked about what had happened, and I was getting ready to officiate over his funeral, and at some point, Corin came to me with one of those big questions, and he asked, "Dad, why does God want people to die?" I didn't have to struggle with my answer to that one. I told him right away, "Corin, God doesn't want anyone to die. God hates death." And that is really one of the central reasons for what we celebrate in Holy Week and Easter. Death is the enemy. And by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God didn't just make peace with death. God overthrew it. He defeated it. He ensured that in the end, death will die and be gone forever. And the reason for that hatred, the reason that God stands so completely against death, is just because of who our God is. Our God is a God of life. We've seen this already throughout the night in these special readings and the story that unfolds of God's work throughout the vigil. This year, though, you, of course, noticed we added a new piece to the readings. It's a reminder on the banners right around us at the moment. Each of these readings was accompanied with one of these 7 I am statements of Jesus. If you're not familiar with these are very famous and very important statements that Jesus makes about himself in the Gospel of John. And these are what I want to consider with you a little bit more as we're thinking about who our God is, this God of life. So as we consider these great I am statements, we have to begin with what they have entirely in common. It's that Jesus says, I am. Now, of course, that may not seem like much to us. We've all said it before. I mean, I am a dad. I am a pastor. I'm a big fan of The Legend of Zelda video games. The thing here is that Jesus isn't making these statements in the same way that we do. Jesus is actually very dramatically telling us the deep truth of his identity. Remember with me for a moment the story of Moses and the burning bush. Remember for me, it's like I want you to tell me it or something. We're not going to do that. Remember Moses and the burning bush. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses is tending sheep when God appears to him in a burning bush and tells him that he has to go back to Egypt and lead his people out of slavery. So Moses asks God, when I go and tell the people of Israel that the God of their fathers has sent me, and they ask, what is his name? What do I tell them? And God answers, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And from that moment on, those words, I am, became tied up with the very identity and nature of God. He is the I am. It means that he's eternal, that he relies on no one else to exist, that he needs no one else to be complete, that he's the beginning and foundation of everything else. This name and then the explanation of who God is, that becomes, in sort of a shortened form, the name Yahweh. And that is the name by which his people Israel always knew him. That was the unique name that they had for their God and no one else. When Jesus makes these already remarkable statements about who exactly he is, saying, I am, he's using the exact words that God spoke to Moses. There are other ways of saying it, but Jesus didn't use those other words. So as Jesus proclaims himself as these amazing things, the bread of life, the good shepherd, the true vine, and more, he isn't saying these things merely as a good man or a great teacher or a wonderful prophet. Jesus begins each of these statements by proclaiming that he is Israel's one true God come to them. He is the I am, Yahweh incarnate. And that matters deeply, not just for who Jesus really is, but for the truth and the importance of what he says next in each of these statements. If Jesus was anything or anyone else, these amazing statements would ultimately be hollow, just beautiful nothings we might as well forget or ignore. Instead, we see that they are deeply true of God himself, and so they are deeply important for us. Now, unfortunately, we do not have time to dive deeply into each of these statements from here, as much as I might like to do so. But let me just give you an idea of a great Easter discipline. You might be considering and meditating on these different I am statements throughout the season of Easter in some way. But as I was considering all these, I was especially struck that there's actually another really important thing they all hold in common. It's not just that they start with Jesus saying, I am, but in all but one, Jesus directly speaks of life. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as Jesus proclaims himself both as the door and as the good shepherd, he says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And I am the resurrection and the life. This is striking to me anyway. Of all the things that Jesus can tell us about himself in these powerful statements, he makes them about life. This much emphasis from Jesus means that certainly this is very important. So then we need to ask, Jesus is so concerned about life, what does he mean? What is the life that he talks about? What does it include or look like? And some of that answer, I think we can discern from these great statements he makes about himself. The life Jesus proclaims has no darkness, so no shame, no guilt, no more sin and evil. Also, this life is full and abundant. It will leave us satisfied, sustained, comforted. It's about the presence of God, finding and knowing him, having relationship with him, reliance on him. We can make our home in him. And it's resurrection, so it's life everlasting. Our other readings from tonight, they also show us so much of this life in so many ways. We see it in the created world just bursting with life, with all things perfectly designed and ordered, everything relating to each other and to God according to his loving, careful plans. We see it in the redemption God provides Israel, taking them from slavery to be his people, to be their God. And we also see there that this life is about community and purpose, loving and serving God together. We see this life in the bread, the wine, the rich food found in God's presence. And it's a life that triumphs over death. It continues on without fear and peace and justice. It's a life of healing and hope. It's a life with God as he rejoices and exalts over his people. It's wonderful and amazing, and honestly, it's hard to really understand or imagine that well. But it is certain. It is certain because we know the one speaking. It's the great I am. And we know what he's done, that by his death, he has made sure for us his life. And that's actually the core of this. This isn't about these amazing promises as if they exist apart from God. This isn't about life as if it's just something Jesus does for us. Jesus doesn't say, I know the life or I have the life. Jesus says, I am the life. Jesus is the full answer to our question, well, what is life? Look to Jesus. He is the life. We don't have Jesus and life or Jesus and redemption or Jesus and resurrection. We just have Jesus. He is all of this for us and to us. In the Gospel of John, as Jesus prays for his disciples right before his death, he points to all this as he says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Life and eternal life. It's all about knowing our God, Father, Son, and Spirit, because all the rest of these amazing things are found only in them. I find it really interesting at this point that Jesus draws a distinction between this life and resurrection. Throughout John's gospel, Jesus talks about life and eternal life. For him, these are the same thing, but he never calls it resurrection life. Even in the I am statements here, he keeps the two separate, saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, certainly the two are clearly related. It's because Jesus is life that death could not hold him. He broke straight through death and into life again. But I think Jesus keeps them separate because we shouldn't think that the life he promises, his life, is only something that is to come. It's only something that we are waiting for in the way we wait for our resurrection. Instead, because of his resurrection, this life is for us now. It is something we can begin to know and experience now. Now, certainly, we do not yet know a life without pain, suffering, or struggles, but we can know, with Jesus as our life, a life without shame, a life that is characterized by the forgiveness we've freely received and so can freely give, life of joy, wonder, feasting and celebration, even worshiping together, receiving communion together. These are tastes of the life that we have and we are promised. Even now we can make our home in Christ. We can find ourselves and even the world around us transformed, even though we do wait for the life that we will one day know when sin and death are gone and only good remains. I already mentioned my grandpa Bud, so I'm going to keep going with him for a minute. For me, he was the strongest example of what this life looked like. By the end of his life, and actually well before that, my grandpa was in pretty constant pain. He worked very hard his whole life farming, and it showed. He had both of his knees replaced, and he wore out the replacements. Many of his other joints were worn down to just bone on bone. He had cancer, and by the end, congestive heart failure. But that final Christmas with us, he was still so glad he made it because he wanted to read one more time Luke 2, the birth of Jesus, to us on Christmas Eve. His life was full of wonder and joy. He loved seeing things grow and seasons change because he was seeing the Creator God at work. He looked for and delighted in every blessing he could, every answered prayer. He had so much joy as he held his great-grandchildren, even though he couldn't physically do so on his own anymore. He knew and proclaimed over and over the goodness of God and hardship and blessing. And he did long for the resurrection and fullness of life in Christ, but he still found so much life with Christ right here. I want to be more like my grandpa. In our world, though, that isn't without challenges. So many things around us clamor for our attention, demand our allegiance. They promise us life, the good life, they say. Life of ease, prosperity, entertainment, pleasure, and we can just reach out and take it. Like Deacon Cheryl said last night, we sometimes have no idea what we're doing. If we turn to the wrong things to find life, we spend our money on that which does not satisfy, and we're left searching for more. But life, true life, the life of Christ, of knowing God the Father and Jesus whom he sent, the life of forgiveness, joy, wonder, purpose, fulfillment, this is offered to us. And it's not something that can be grasped. It's a person that must be received. Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, is the life. At the death of Lazarus, when Jesus told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life," he continued on to challenge her, asking, "Do you believe this?" I think that's the question for us. Jesus Christ is alive and he is the life. Do you believe this? May we tonight even turn to Christ for the first time or the thousandth time and know his life in us now and forever. Let's pray. Christ, we are so thankful for the life that you have given for us and for the life that you give us. Help us to turn. Help us to embrace you and hold. May we see your life in and through us. May we know your great working. Just thank you. Amen.